Tuesday, March 10th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 1 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, War of the Worlds.
The Lord's won. The blood of the Lamb has overcome. And we overcome by the word of our testimony. That's why we're here. That's why you're listening to this. When people bring the truth of the Christ and the gospel into their hearts and minds, you're overcoming, believing that truth. I hope that encourages you today. That was the goal. Stay with the gospel. Stay with the testimony. There we have overcome. And he promises us, as he's told us the whole way, we're going to be there. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Out in her pangs when she is near to giving birth, so were because of you, O Lord, and all along the way. This is what we are because of you. Satan's great strategy throughout history was to kill the child. He couldn't accomplish this, but it was his hard working throughout history. I mean, you know this in Genesis. Eve bears a son, and she has Cain, and she has Abel, and the very first cosmic battle takes place right there where the seed of the serpent kills the seed of the woman, knocks him down. She gets Seth. I've got him. The battle continues all the way from who is it going to be? Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob and Esau have a feud and a war, these two seeds, trying to kill each other. Esau trying to kill him. Saul will take a spear trying to take out David. The line was always under assault. This was Satan's battle in history. If he could, he could stop the Savior from being born. It was over. It all came to an ugly head when Herod was on the throne, a descendant of Esau, and desperately tries to wipe out the babies, right? The story's all in front of you. You know the story. Well, the vision now moves to tell us what happened to the sun and what it meant for the dragon. In verse 7, the war is described as coming to a climax. As soon as he was caught up to God and his throne, a war breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought, and there was no longer found a place for Satan and his angels. This war breaks out in heaven. All throughout the Old Testament, the devil seemed to have access into the heavens for a great purpose. You'll remember that purpose when Job was being assaulted. And it said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it. Now he's up in heaven, ready to accuse Job. Same thing in Zechariah with Zechariah's garments. He comes up there and he accuses him of his filth. There had been nothing performed throughout the Old Testament to deal with humanity's problem of sin. And Satan was known as the accuser of the brethren day and night. He would come up there and he would say, they're filthy. They're filthy. Well, the woman prevails and brings forth a male child. As soon as this child was caught up to God and his throne, guess what happened in heaven? War breaks out. Michael, known as the archangel, a leader, one of the leaders of the angels, fights with Satan. A cosmic battle happens in heaven. I want you to think of it this way, since we're starting Acts tonight. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends into a cloud to go and be seated on the throne, and he tells them to wait in that upper room. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Don't you go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes. You know why they were told to wait? Here's a reason. You ever wonder, and you ever watched a movie when some out-of-control maniac is yelling and breathing threats in some building, and here comes some tough guy who's going to go in there, and you don't really see what happened, but all of a sudden you're hearing everything banging around, and somebody's being thrown and beaten, and he walks out and dusts off, and he's the victor. That's what happened in heaven. Revelation 12 is telling us that at his ascension, and before Pentecost, there was some real house cleaning that went on. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought, and there was no longer found a place for them. In other words, he was finally cast down and no longer could bring an accusation anymore. I love verse 10. It's such a wonderful verse announcing the victory that's ours. And it says, a loud voice was heard in heaven saying, now, when? The cross event, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even to death. The blood of the Lamb, the testimony, sealed his death. The kingdom's come. Satan's been cast down. Now, I believe this is extremely important for us to understand, for first century Christians to grasp. Think about the implication of this. There is no more accusation, first and foremost. Everything's been paid. You see how Revelation's been motivating us the whole time? It's been saying, notice we overcame not with what one work we did, by the way, not one. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's gospel. It's done. The overcoming has happened. Revelation is motivating you and driving you in the certainty of a hope, as we've been talking about, because the victory is secure. The victory is won. You know, that's the heart of God's message to us today as we come into the wilderness and as we struggle, that he is saying to you, the accuser of your brethren who accuses you guys day and night, it's over. It's at the heart of what is one of your favorite verses in the Bible. In Romans 8, when Paul says, what shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know who he has in mind. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give you everything? So, consequence, who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to do it? It's God who justifies you. Who is he to condemn? Who's going to separate you from the love of Christ? Who's going to do it? Who could accomplish it? The accuser's done. You ever thought about how much you've done against your Lord? How much sin? Your own consciences rise up against you. You had a greater accuser. You didn't even realize it. When you didn't even know, there he came and he said, do you see what he's doing in private? Listen, I wouldn't want my sins prayed on Facebook, let alone brought into heaven before God, would you? Hey, Jesus, is that your righteous servant Noah drunk in a tent? Is that him? He's drunk! Look at Abraham pawning off his wife. Twice. I love her. Look at all the sexual morality in Israel. Do you see what David's down there doing with Bathsheba? Didn't you say no fornication, adultery? Didn't you say no gossip? You feeling this? Didn't you say that people should forgive and love? They don't love one another. They don't forgive. They're bitter. What are you going to do about that? You see, if God has gone to the effort in giving up his own son to take away the accuser, should make you all the more repentant, right? Should make us think a lot about what we're doing. You know what God's done for you? He overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So that this is the truth today I get to proclaim. And you, who were once dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven, period, it's over. Having forgiven you all your trespasses, it's done. By canceling the record of debt that stood against you with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed in that process rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. That's the devil for you. By triumphing over them in it. Revelation 12. He just got beat down by the cross and the resurrection. And he nevermore has the ability to come say, look at that person. So if you've come to Jesus, don't do that to yourself, right? I want you to say, if Satan can't do this to you anymore, every time you say, I've sinned, how could God love me? I overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's where he wants you. That's where he wants you. So he says, rejoice! That's the consequence in the earth for God's people. Rejoice, O heavens, verse 12, and you who dwell in them. Rejoice, you've won. You know how Revelation's presented us. You're a people who belong to heaven. Rejoice, you who dwell in the heavens. That's you. That's us. We belong to the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city, not Babylon. You have been, we've looked at it, marked, measured, and it's all reserved for you, says Peter. Well, now let's get back to the core issue of the text then. Why the hate? Why the violence? Why are things getting worse? I want everyone to see something here. I think it's one of the most encouraging things I get to proclaim today, where he says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens. You'll see this there. Rejoice, O heavens, verse 12, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. The woe is not pronounced on you. Revelation pictures the believing people of Christ as dwelling in heaven. And what has happened to Satan? He's been thrown to the earth. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And because of that, I'm going to draw all peoples to myself. He said that in John 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I'm going to draw all peoples to myself. That's the time we live. That's the reign. What's being said to us is then that the devil has been so defeated by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony, he has complete rage in coming down to this earth. New Testament warns us of this over and over. 1 Peter, be sober, minded, be watchful. Why? Why? Because the devil, your adversary, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's what's going on. He's got a bunch of minions to do it. Notice the woe. You know, why you see all the hate? Why you see all the racial division? You know why? You know why you see all the violence? Why you see all the destruction? Here's your reason. His single great purpose, his rage, his fury is at an all-time high on the peoples who dwell on the earth. He is giving it his all right now. Maybe this will help. We had a little betta fish. Kids wanted a fish. Go get a fish. A little betta fish. These things are interesting. You can't put a betta fish in a bowl with any other fish, right? These things fight. Beautiful looking red fish. There he sat day after day on the table. And I'm tired of changing water. Named it Loopy. One day, for some reason, the wrong temperature went into the bowl. It was like he had just overdosed. The thing went sideways and went 100 miles an hour in that bowl. Why? It was dying. My greatest joy was to take it to the toilet and flush it at that moment. When you say, why are things so bad? Because the devil's in our bowl. Our sin contributes to all this. The devil's in our bowl swimming like that. Why is there so much hatred in the earth? The devil's gone mad. He's confined to this bowl. And he's furious he's dying. He's furious it's over. Tomorrow, Satan goes in the toilet to hell. Now you understand why things are so hard for us. The whole world lies under the sway of the evil one, says John. All he wants to do is destroy. All he wants to do is rip apart. Don't be party to it. Choose your steps carefully. What does Revelation 12 say? Since the woman has brought forth the child and he ascended, he won, his great goal in all of what you're seeing unfold. It's one great goal. This is what you have to understand. This is so important. His great goal is to come after the woman's offspring. His aim is you and your children. And that's much is said in verse 16. See it? From his mouth, he's pouring forth a river, a mouth. He's speaking all kinds of falsehood. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. There are two ways he's making war. So what you're experiencing from his mouth is a flood of deception. And we've talked about this. We've gone through this. Look at all the deceit. Look at all the deception. Look at all the false ideas. There's a reason Paul told Timothy, listen to the faith of your mother Eunice and grandmother Lois. I might have got that backwards. Listen to it. Hold on to it. You're just doing all you can to hold on to your faith. Flood of deception. And he's making war on those. Now listen to this. It's a moral issue. He's making war on those who care about the commandments of God. What do you think he's doing then? What we're experiencing. Those who make the moral law a way of life, a rule of life. Those are his aim. I don't think you can miss what he's doing right now. Create among the inhabitants of the earth as much division as possible. Look at the tactic. Create among the inhabitants of the earth as much division as possible. Cast the problem of these divisions as certain expressions of hate that everyone should rise up and speak against. And then oppose that hate with the devil's own hate and spew it among the people to silence what are the most socially acceptable and acknowledged forms of hate. We all know we should condemn racism. We all know we should condemn KKK and Nazism and all this stuff, but he's using hate to conquer hate. Why? What's he accomplishing by doing that? He's getting his ducks in a row. Take down all political barriers, opens then the road to silence the witness of the church if he can associate Christianity with that hate. He can spew his hate right back. It's his goal. Whatever, point is, whatever you're seeing happen in a given society, his goal is to come after ultimately the woman's offspring. That's his goal. Don't think that everything you're seeing play out right now on this plane in front of us is not in some strategic way to come after the woman's offspring, Jesus' followers. That's the ultimate aim of this. He's very strategic. And here's what I love about the vision. God sent the woman into where? The wilderness. For 1,260 days, same period as the two witnesses, 3.5 years, it captures the whole witness of the church in this present age. When the Son was caught up into the throne, we were sent into the wilderness. What are we doing? Did you see what he said? He sent them into the wilderness to nourish them. I'm going to nourish them in the wilderness. I'm going to care for him. The woman was given, this is all Israel language, two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to a place where she is to be nourished for a time, times and half a time, his church. The serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood, but the earth came to the help of the woman and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river. Where is that taken? You know. What did God do for Israel? Pulls them out of Egypt, out of the world, conquers the Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea, drowns them. That's just Satan's story. Brings them out into the wilderness for a time and nourishes them there. And what did he do for them? When the Amalekites came, they prayed. Revelation 8, he defended them. Every day he fed them with manna. He nourished and he cared for them, and he tested them. It was a testing period. What was the heart of the test? Will they live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord? Gave them the gospel. And what did he do for Israel? Not one word, said Joshua, that he spoke, he failed to bring to pass. He brought them into the land. And that's what he's promised you, with a perfect and complete Savior who's already overcome. Water came from rocks. Quail dropped on their doorstep. The Lord's defending you. The Lord's with you. He's not left you alone. His wisdom's being shown all over this. Satan can't destroy you. Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He wants to take you, separate the wheat from the chaff. He wants to shake you. But guess what I've done for you? I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Dear church, Satan asks to sift you as wheat. He can't even accuse anymore. He can't even accuse. And every time the Lord prays for you, he's called your intercessor, your mediator. It's by his power you will be kept. So doesn't that give us so much perspective through all of this? The devil's the dead, dying fish in the fishbowl, swimming 100 miles an hour sideways. Well, God's just told you, he soon goes into the toilet. And all this will be done. You are on the accomplished side of history. You're at the very end. That's why it's raging the way it is. That's why things look the way they do. But what it means is, he's won. The Lord's won. The blood of the Lamb has overcome. And we overcome by the word of our testimony. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're here. That's why you're listening to this. When people bring the truth of the Christ and the gospel into their hearts and minds, you're overcoming, believing that truth. So I hope that encourages you today. That was the goal. Stay with the gospel. Stay with the testimony. There we have overcome. And he promises us, as he's told us the whole way, we're going to be there. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, we are wonderfully thankful today for such a glorious truth that you have set before us. And we see how we have to look so much deeper at the problems that we're seeing in our society. The world thinks it will overcome with its answers and the things that we're seeing unfold on the news. We see the greater problem. You've given us perspective into the greater problem. And we know that the devil spews his hate, and it's ultimately aimed at your people. We pray then, Lord, that through this we would have perspective of the victory that is ours, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no accusation anymore. Let's live in the joy of that comfort, for it's a wonder and a wonderful gift that you give us to live in joy today in the midst of this turmoil. Let us be encouraged that you fight the battle for us. Let us give ourselves then to your testimony and to loving your commandments. May that testimony be strong in our day so that many would see where the true power and answer lies in the cross and stay there and keep your church focused on that mission. We humbly pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time. God bless.